I'm gonna call the select board meeting of April 15th to order.
Tax day.
Working this way.
Now we're back to actually earning money?
No.
Hi, you've reached Ben Folds. This is my cell phone.
Yeah, the rule is he either has to be accessible.
He just texted me.
Yeah, he has to be able to hear, and we have to be able to hear him throughout the meeting. Would you like to move to accept the minutes?
I move to accept the minutes from April 1st.
Yes, I second that. Let's vote.
Aye.
Aye. All right, they're accepted. Any requests to change the agenda? You all are on the agenda, so.
No.
Hearing none, public comment. No one's here from the public. We're going to go to new business, which is U.S. Forest Service update with Ranger Martina Bards and more.
And
company. Yeah.
We've
got a bunch of other business, but it seemed like you needed to go first.
No.
Oh, Lori Gaeta. Sorry.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Lori. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Okay, you're on speaker. We started the meeting, so you're on speaker. How are you? Nice
to meet you. Thanks for batching me in.
Yeah. So this is Ben Folds, the third select board member who's on the road but called in. We're here with four members of the
National Forest,
and they're the first new business item. So
awesome. Yeah. So we've been just hello. We've been doing. Thanks for your time. Going around the Ranger District to. Provide. I'll try to speak up so you can hear me. Just giving general updates about activities happening on the Ranger District, specifically in your case in Peru, and giving you just a chance to ask any questions. And wanted to start with, you may have heard in the news about the recent announcement about the reorganization of the Forest Service and the closing of our moving of our headquarters from Washington, D.C. to Salt Lake City. So there's, it's been a lot of calls with employees about some of the changes. But for our level at the field level, because that's obviously what, we are concerned about and what probably most of the towns are concerned about, it, there really won't be huge substantive changes. In fact, I think the hope is that we'll be able to staff up a little more eventually, not immediately, but more. Because right now we do have a fair amount of vacancies on our district office here and also in our offices throughout Vermont. So, just in case you hear that, I heard through the grapevine that even this morning there was a segment on, or the chief, I guess, was interviewed on, I think it was Studio 1A on an NPR segment about it. So I wanted to listen to that.
What are the number of vacancies in?
We here in Manchester, five maybe?
Yeah, at least.
Give or take. But we have, we're a small staff of 20 plus.
Right.
We have a few people who are Forest Service employees but work for other parts of the Forest Service, contracting and our geospatial office. So, for example, we don't have a front desk person right now full time. We don't have support services like an admin person. We're missing staff. We're lacking staff in our Fish and Wildlife staff. Our rec staff is actually pretty fully staffed up, but also in our timber staff as well. So, in pretty much every in several programs, we're missing staff.
Right.
I wanted to mention that and leave with you, and then I'll pass it on to Stacy or Jesse and Steve, but to give some program updates. But this letter, our printer is a little bit on the fritz.
Okay.
this letter is something that we normally send out to, it's called the town report. It's like a longer document, but due to the shutdown last fall, it's been an interesting year for federal agencies. Due to the shutdown, we didn't get a long update sent out, but it just kind of provides some highlights, including the plans for the Velamont Trail, which Steve will talk a little bit more about, and the fact that we had the severe drought last fall, so we had some support from outside forests here to help us, you know, just be responsive in case there were wildfires, which there was a tiny little one near Half Good Pond.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, I know it well.
Yeah. And then also there are several changes happening with our NEPA regulations. And
what's NEPA?
National Environmental Protection Act.
Okay.
So it's a law that requires us to it takes us through a process for environmental review before any projects that are done. So it's
okay.
But part of that is part of NEPA requires public input and public comment. That's a huge part of NEPA, and so this you can go to the website, but I just printed this for you. So every quarter we post our projects on our website, and so you can go to that website and just kind of see what's being proposed for that upcoming quarter. And so I just so you know, this is like where you can find it. And
I'll put it in the minutes for the meeting.
So it's kind of a good one-stop shop to sort of see what projects are being proposed for that upcoming quarter. And then, yeah, we've got some cool stuff happening, both recreation-wise and timber-wise. So we'll just maybe pass it along to Jesse.
Okay. Nice. So I have here is the 5-year plan. This goes from fiscal year 26, which we are currently in, all the way to, 2030? Yeah, not
30.
We're not going to be here then.
Yeah.
Thinking like trees now. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So you can see that there's sales listed by their name. Then it goes over to tell you like what town it's in, how much volume's coming out of there, and what the expected preparation dates are for it. You won't see Mad Tom Overstory Removal or Sunnyside Timber Sale on there. You'll see it on the map, but you won't see it on the 5-year plan because they've already been sold and are completed.
Okay.
But we wanted to make you aware of their area and where they are. Mad Tom Overstory Removal, that was prepped last summer. Mm-hmm. And it was a very small sale. It was just essentially removing the shelterwood trees, so because they had done their job reseeding what was below them, and then now that it's all come up, they cut the big trees so it'll all come back as one cohort.
Mm-hmm.
Sunnyside Timber Sale, that one's been going on for some years now. That was prepped 10 years ago, more than that maybe now.
Prepped in 2015 and sold in 2016.
Yeah, so about 10 years. Yeah. And well,
we did some walks with Jeff Tilley through this.
We don't have the individual units on there. We just have the sale area boundary. The units are much smaller than that sale area boundary actually shows. That just encompasses all the units into a boundary. And sometimes we bump the boundary out just a little bit in case we want to do additional work in the area that allows us to use those money that's revenue from the sale to do other work.
Mm-hmm.
We have future outgoing sales up in the top right. It's not quite in the town, but you can kind of see this line that comes down here and then over, and it goes up and back around this block in here. Like I said, it's not really in the town, but it's in there. That one's Trout Club, right,
yeah.
Stacy?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's sort of getting, Catamount runs through there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that'll be coming down the pipe, but we haven't done any prep work or anything out there. What is it on planned for 2029?
29, it looks like.
Yeah.
And is that one on here?
Yes, Trout Club right here in the back.
Where you seeing it? Okay, yep.
Yeah, so usually before the sale is settled, we're in there for at least some months, usually up to about a year. were in there doing preparations prior to the sale being sold. So if you have any questions about that, Stacy and I are available.
And the good thing about, we're just in the beginning stage of the sale. Another good reason we put these on here is that if you can think of any reason that we should be aware of something like heritage or something like that, we can mitigate it a lot easier now than when we're actually doing it.
Right.
You know, yeah. We can plan better. So just if anyone has any questions, like Jesse or I, and we can probably have a map a little bit, you know, zoomed in a little bit more. Or something like
that. Yeah, I think just because of local recreation, that whole like the Root Beer Ridge route, that gets a fair amount of traffic. And so if there was a way to blow that up and talk with folks both in Peru and Landgrove.
We've been to Landgrove, and I have we'll prepare a zoomed in one that'll have
that'd be great.
Sales, but
yeah,
that kind of goes up that, I guess it's called Trout Club Road, and then it goes across to like Jackwith Road, you know, mostly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it goes all across there. And so yeah, we're just asking the public, you know, we're going to be in there, but we don't catch everything. Somebody's been living here the whole life knows things out there we never will.
Yeah.
So we just ask for input. So
yeah, I just know it as winter travel. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's a little bit of mountain biking out there in the summer, but that gets a
nice
good amount of use in the winter.
And then
snow,
that's
so.
Kind of a wet trail.
Kind of manky.
Yeah.
People still try to drive up there, but they don't get too far. But
yeah. But yeah, the trail segment, what do they call them?
Sections?
Yeah, the whoever's in charge of that section is a Landgrove resident and
sure.
You know, gets people out there a fair amount.
It's a popular descent.
Yeah.
It's pretty
spicy,
that Root Beer Ridge going down.
It's great.
For like trying to control your speed on little Nordic skis.
Yeah.
I mean, we have the other sale that's further down, Fourth Road 10. It's called Old Jobs. And unfortunately, it's like when that's operating, we're probably going to have to close that section of Fourth Road 10 off again, because last time we did it, we tried to close it. Everyone just parked in front of the gate, blocked all the logging trucks, blocked everything, and it was just, we were getting ready to tow vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't want to get to that point. So we got some better signage this year, or next time.
And, yeah.
You know, make people more aware of it again.
Okay, so there's another, is that another sale?
Yeah.
Okay.
What year is that?
It's already sold. It's operating. Hunter Excavation has that. It accesses through Fourth Road 10.
So got it.
They kind of hit your part of Peru here. And so, so it was sold in 2022.
Well, it was prepped in 19.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not on here because
it's not here.
It's passed. Okay.
It's already passed.
Yep. Right on.
Yeah, and you can go to like our forest website. Sometimes it is, as we've heard as a comment from other members of the public. Sometimes it's hard to find because once it's sold, it's like you have to kind of go through the project file to see like where those previous sales are, if they are, to just find out about them. But then if it's been sold already, it's sometimes.
Which is good. I mean, like said, Jesse and I here, like
yeah,
you
can
just contact.
Say contact you or Stacy for information.
Yeah.
Is there a typical time frame from the sold to the? Is it?
It's a long period. Potentially long
period.
Right?
I mean, Sunnyside is 10 years.
Are you asking from the sold till when it actually gets cut?
Yeah.
Typically, our contracts are 5 years. But there's a. They can also apply for extensions.
Right.
And a lot of the sales we were operating on during COVID got a automatic 2-year extension. Right. So like Sunnyside was one of those. So they bumped them all down the road a little bit further. It can be advantageous. It can also be destructive in a way. Not destructive, that's the wrong word. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is they're taking a risk by letting it sit there longer.
Right.
Because the trees can grow in size, and you know, that's a good thing for them. But they can also fall over and die in that meantime, so that's not a great thing for them. Yeah. So we try to, you know, we're monitoring the cutting and stuff like that. But then we have people that are above us that, like with what happened with Dutch Hill, you know, sometimes we got to get on them to get it finished.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So then just in the interest of time, just kind of other meeting agenda topics, we just touch on some of the recreation.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about the Velamont.
Yeah, so good afternoon. I'm Steve Pitlick, Recreation Program Manager here on the district. So some of this stuff is on the map, and some of it is on, this is all of the sections of the Velamont. There's 11 sections, 70 miles in total, roughly. So you'll see where it comes through Peru. Mm-hmm. But yeah, recreation priorities, you know, here in town, are, we focus on providing public access to the national forest lands. They include multi-use trails, developed recreation sites. So Hapgood Pond, that's our most developed recreation site out of all of them. Mm-hmm. The only place with a hot shower and bathrooms and, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And dispersed recreation sites, like an example of that would be up on the Appalachian Trail, like the Peru Peak Shelter. Yep. We have 30 shelters out on the system, but yeah, having dispersed, you know, something for everybody. Not everybody mm-hmm. wants to be at Hapgood, but we've got wilderness up there as well. So at Hapgood, specifically last year, we did some improvements to the bathhouse. We put in some heat pumps. I'm trying to upgrade, like, efficiency. Did all new fixtures, a bottle filler, water fountain outside. The two CCC-era pavilions, we had HistoriCorps come in, and we did some restoration on them, trying to keep the historical character. From the Knoll Pavilion down to the Nature Trail, we put in a nice set of stone stairs and a handrail. Handrail got busted up and vandalized. We've fixed it since, but, you know, it's kind of annoying when we make something nice and immediately somebody drop kicks it and, you know, breaks it. But we have some trail cameras. We can try to monitor that a little bit. But other things we did, the Nature Trail, the one loop trail around it. So we're working to upgrade it to be an accessible trail. So once you first go over the dam got a new handrail as well last year and the new fishing pier, some pretty big, you know, big mm-hmm. ticket items, but we'd like to make that trail all the way around to the campground accessible. The first section after the dam, it's rooty, doesn't meet grade, but that is going to be the connector to Hapgood Pond from the Velamont. That's this little section right there, mm-hmm. but from the Stone Place Trail, it's kind of weird. It comes up from East Dorset, and then it goes up our Corridor 7 snowmobile trail by Griffith Lake. It goes, like, north to come back south, but you can kind of see the details there. But it's going to – the idea is, like, a hut-to-hut long-distance mountain bike trail, very similar to the long trail Massachusetts to Canada. Mm-hmm. So the only thing, you know, we're trying to juggle is we've got the Catamount Trail in Massachusetts to Canada. We've got the long trail Massachusetts to Canada. Now a third user group, bicycles, also having a similar thing. But we are overlapping the trail with – a lot of existing roads and trails. There will be some new construction. I think it's about 15 miles of, like, brand new that doesn't exist at the moment, like a little section like that.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, once this is done, at least on the forest, I think the Velamont Trail Collective is going to try to work on private parcels where it's going to take a lot more land agreements to get more than, like, 70 miles in one agreement. But you know, it's already under construction up on the Rochester District, the North Half. So we're getting into the game and, you know, trying to connect it to as many existing trail systems like Raptor Lane, for example. And then, like, down around Mount Snow or Stratton, there's certain areas it's going to go by Grout Pond. So we have, like, some biking and use already, and we'll tie it into, like, those networks.
That's great.
So the one thing that's a lot different than the long trail is we're trying to get the trail down to communities where kids maybe after school can jump on the trail and go for a bike ride versus having to go all the way up to the top of a mountain and get on the long trail where it makes a cross at the top of the ridge. So a slightly different approach to getting folks out on the trail system.
Mm-hmm.
Is the trail within Hapgood Pond that cut through, is that actually going to be – it was closed this past summer. There was, like, flood.
There's one back to the beach. So we have that trail bridge on our replacement list.
Oh, you do? Okay.
We do want to reopen that.
Yeah. I mean, it was so dry last summer, you could walk it, even though it said it was closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so somebody wouldn't twist their ankle, but we are trying to replace that trail bridge and get the connection back to the beach versus over to the campground.
Right.
Because it just kind of goes to the road. But anywhere where it's kind of exceeding 8% is where we may have to add a switchback or change the route a little bit, especially on this side where, I don't know if you've ever walked it, there's all the spruce roots.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, like, kind of up and down. So that'll probably require a fair amount of work. But we're hoping to get that up to where, you know, mm-hmm. the one major change is going to be there'll be bicycles, you know, on these hiking trails. But, you know, that's the case on a lot of our trails. We have multiple users. I think when you start mixing in horses and mountain bikes is when you really kind of run into some potential speed and sight line issues. But I think with hikers and bikers, we should all be able to get along.
Yeah. And when, is it Velamont that'll cut this new trail? Do they, I mean, do they do the work or coordinate the volunteers?
So we have a bunch of funding and an agreement with them, and then they put it out for bid, and okay. they have, like, trail contractors come in.
Okay.
And sometimes they actually have one company, like, design and do the layout, and then they're so booked up, they'll have, like, a crew that isn't as good as design but knows how to build once it's on paper.
Yeah.
And they'll come in and do the construction. So it's like a mixed bag, but it's basically a contract bid process. And then we had some money that was congressionally like directed spending, kind of like an earmark
yep.
for the accessibility and the Velamont. It was all part of kind of when Senator Leahy was sunsetting.
Yeah.
We got in on these last couple projects for keeping us going. Because we're not getting a ton of money for recreation other than what we collect for fees at the site. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
And are you the contact at the office for the Velamont stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we started talking last year. Town of Peru, just over 20 years ago, commissioned a study toward a recreation designation that would connect the village with Hapgood Pond via North Road, and we've dusted that off, and I think with the help of the BCRC, I think we will probably apply for a recreation grant next November. It was just the application is bigger than anything I'd seen before as road commissioner, so it overwhelmed me the first year. But the nice thing is that the VTrans already has. You know, it's an 80-page report, and it would be really exciting to create something, you know, sort of separate automotive traffic from horse, bike, you know. And we have a little stub of road. It was blown out in one of the floods, but where Manitowoc Notch comes down and hits the park, there's an old rail road bed. Mm-hmm. And this is what I talked with you about possibly collaborating on, and I've talked to the Velamont folks. They're kind of excited that there could be a designated path that would connect the Velamont and the park with town.
That's so their objective.
And it's a lot of what ifs and a lot of process, but you know, I think the town will. I can predict that we're going to be approaching you for some collaboration on that.
Okay.
You know, another way into the park and. VTrans has offered to do culvert replacement studies.
Okay.
There are two. There's the one that is a trench where an old culvert was blown out, and then there's the one, you know, there's that little recreation path that comes in at the campground.
Yeah.
Or the campsite that is probably substandard at this point. It's like an old stone.
Undersized.
Yeah. So anyway, I feel like that's in the next 8 months probably going to be a conversation that we start with your office. And
now that we have Steve, because we didn't have a permanent recreation program manager for quite some time, but now we have Steve.
Great.
Wow. I was up in Mendon, so I was like dabbling down here, but my main role was up there, so I was trying to, you know, like all of us do multiple jobs in the interim.
Cool.
Was that the state's recreation trail program that we're looking into? The RTP?
Yes.
It is a bit of a
It's quite
undertaking.
Onerous, that application.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you need any support, let us know.
I would, well, and I can, there's a PDF of that whole original report, but BCRC said the fact that we have that already in the bank is really helpful for the RTP process, so. We'll get there.
I think it's pretty well funded too.
Yeah.
So at least they've got some trail dollars out there.
Yeah. Cool.
And then the only last thing I think I didn't mention at Hapgood is there's a little boat launch. I mean, it was kind of grown in with cattails in the one corner. We're gonna get a better like gravel approach to get kayaks in the water there.
Nice.
But, yeah, I think that's it. I'll move on to other projects along the Appalachian Trail and Long Trail.
up at the Peru Peak Shelter. We're doing the trail bridge up there. So a number of years back, there was the Great American Outdoor Act. We've been requesting a lot of funding for our trail bridges. We have about 300 trail bridges on the forest. They're getting more and more expensive to maintain and replace, and then we try to bring them up to 100-year flood, you know, events just so they don't wash out. So as with those expensive price tags, we're picking away at, you know, usually 3 to 4 a year. And then we're also looking pretty carefully at our snowmobile trail bridge system, because they're getting bigger, wider, and the groomers are getting heavier, and they're over $100,000 each. So when we find an area where, like, there's two parallel snowmobile trails going to, like, the same area or destination, we're trying to eliminate, you know, one, or if it's western facing or south facing and the snow doesn't hold as good, you know, we're going to invest $150,000 for one user group when we can have a bridge that's adequate for bikes and people.
Yeah.
And find an alternate route for snowmobiles. We're kind of have some challenges, but we're working with VAST on finding those priority corridors. Obviously, we're never going to be closing like Corridor 7, but, you know, we're trying to stay in the game, and as climate changes, make the right decisions on these bridges out there.
Is the bridge, is it the one literally at the shelter?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That, yep. Yeah, yeah. That we've been walking around for years. Cause...
yeah. We've been cutting an opening already, so there'll be a helicopter drop, and then further up, if you see some helicopters flying around, after Little Rock Pond, we had some washouts. The Homer Stone Bridge up there, north of that. I think it's in the town of Wallingford.
Yeah.
So they're going to try to do the drops for the lumber in the same flight.
Oh,
or
nice.
The same day, just to be efficient. The helicopters are pretty expensive.
Okay.
But yeah, if you see any flying around with... But the idea is we're going to get everything prepped on the abutments and then fly the bridge right into place and place it so we don't have to have a high line and rigging and lift it a second time. But
yeah,
that sounds good in theory. Hopefully we can pull it off.
And sounds amazing.
Our club member, like Green Mountain Club, are really our experts out there that are boots on the ground, putting in the labor and have a lot of volunteers. So without trail partners, we wouldn't be able to maintain 1,100 miles of trail across the forest. So we're pretty lucky to have great partners. And then the last thing I'll mention is just we're going to hopefully be getting some funding. The Appalachian Trail is managed technically by the Park Service. I mean, here throughout the Green Mountains, the management is transferred to us, but it's still considered a long linear national park, so they have capital funding improvements. So there's $5 million available for all of the New England sections of the AT through the Legacy Restoration Fund. So we're hoping to make some improvements. We're narrowing down where we can put some funding in, but we'll definitely see some of these sections that haven't had a lot of work in quite some time, deferred maintenance we call it, get addressed. So yeah, that's pretty much it. And then not on us, but you know, over here on the Bromley State Forest, the Green Mountain Club constructed that new observation tower. It's been pretty popular. More folks doing the section hike just to the top,
yep,
and coming back down, so drawing more people out into the woods. And yeah, the towers are pretty expensive to maintain. We're trying to get money for our Glastonbury Tower further down, and then the Stratton Mountain Tower. So we're hoping to make some repairs to those. The Glastonbury one's been closed for a couple of years, and then Stratton's like on the almost needs to close. But hopefully in the next couple of years, we'll get those fixed up, and we'll have other places to see out of the what we call the green tunnel, and you're along that trail. You can at least get up and say, oh, there's a world out there.
That's awesome.
Muddy trail I'm on.
Right.
So any questions? And yeah, this is all the other maps of all those sections where you can kind of follow along. It does actually start over in Dorset Hollow, kind of come up through Emerald Lake, and then up through East Dorset. And like I said, it'll go down that Corridor 7 and then come back south this way.
Nice.
So, yeah, they had quite a dream there, so hopefully we can kind of their pace. But we're trying to provide recreation opportunities for all. And, you know, it's also kind of wrapped in with those huts that are for rent under the special use permit. We have one at Grout Pond right now, and then up on the North Path, there's one at the Chittenden. So we don't offer like glamping opportunities, so it's something that a special use permit can offer that we don't. So any questions?
Cool. But also.
Yeah, we can follow up anytime. I'm real close.
All right, cool.
We'll be driving them by a lot. And then it sounds pretty bleak with the staffing, but at least we have a temporary seasonal hire in recreation. They're just a seasonal employee, but they will definitely help us maintain Apted.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, where the rubber meets the road, just kind of cleaning that site up and having people out there on the weekends. It's important. And then if we don't have them and the bathrooms get dirty, you know, we get complaints. So having those booths.
Do you not have someone that's there in the summer?
Oh, we'll have a host.
Oh, you'll have a host.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, we do have a host coming in. So that helps quite a bit as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, for after hours and, you know, trying to make sure folks are quieting down at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm.
Cool. I have one question that I printed this out, and I wonder if it's current, the Green Mountain Passport, which says that it allows people over the age of 62. It is, yeah. So it's this, I mean, I don't know if this is something you've ever heard of. I'll tell you what I'm interested in.
I know we got our card for stuff, but
so this is state parks.
Yeah,
we have another thing, the America, the beautiful pass, and then as like there's like veteran. I think veterans get them for free, right? And then there's discounted for seniors, and just like all of our sites, it's like half off for anything as a senior, half off a day use, half off.
Well, here's the big question.
Yeah,
could we negotiate? A pass that the town of Peru would either pay for or subsidize for people. We would figure out the designation, but let's just say it's homestead families. Like, so people who are actually homesteaded in the town.
Yeah.
Could we figure out an annual pass to Hapgood Pond? Because I feel like here it is, right? I mean, it's a feature of our town.
Yeah.
But I don't like hearing that people who live here
don't
recreate because they don't have their pass, or it's in, you know, like it's in the hang tags in the different car. And I feel like it's such a draw, and I would love to see locals embrace it and not just think of it as a tourist destination, but as a locals destination. And this ties in with our town plan that commits us to making decisions first for the benefit of locals and secondarily to the benefit of tourist visitors.
Yeah.
And not to arrange this all hierarchically, but it seems like sometimes things are shifted. They actually reverse the hierarchy the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring it up not just to hatch the idea tonight that if the town, you know, we would look at this from a budgetary standpoint, but if, you know, if your office could grant such an opportunity and we figured out a way that the town would fund, I just think it would be a really cool, sort of like library membership, but, you know, pond membership. Yeah. And, you know, I go there a lot, like LVRS.
Well, I mean, Manchester does it with their rec, right? If you're,
do they?
If
okay.
You're, I mean, if you're I mean, that's it's a town, but still, if you're a resident of the town of Manchester, it's very different than if you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get access to the pools.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Everything else. So right now, the way it works, it's our annual season's pass is 35. So for seniors, it's like 1750.
Okay.
I believe. So if we were looking to try to subsidize that for folks, then it would be looking for 1750 per family, per carload. And then you get a second vehicle as well for half of the 35. So I guess that would be half of 1750.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So maybe it already, like, there's already a formula that we could.
It would just need to be purchased probably. Then.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, know what license plate numbers, that kind of ties it in.
Yeah.
It's not going.
How do you keep track of that now?
We
have the hang tags, and then we have a written log. And we are now, we have that automated,
he's got bored.
We lost him.
The automated fee machine. It's basically like a parking meter, but that allows us to, folks can make payments with a debit card. So if they get purchased there, then the host has the hang tags on site to issue, or we issue them at the office. But it's basically a handwritten record. And, you know, we try to get most folks to comply.
Yeah. Well, no, that, and I was looking for a way to make it easier, or what I end up having happen is, you know, I'm on a bike ride with a group.
Yeah.
We're thinking about taking a swim at the end, but nobody has a wallet on them. So that's, you know, like, it would be nice if we had some way to just say, hey, we're, you know, we've done our annual.
We could probably work something out with like a host, you know.
Okay.
And we try to, I mean, the host is probably issuing more of those tags than we are down at the office now.
I didn't even know that. I always go to the, I buy them at the station.
I'm just curious, how many Homestead residents are there?
We have to pull that. I don't know. I mean, we're a population of...
Oh, I just, well...
Did you...
I just got the tax thing that
is it like
that
1,000
says,
or less than 1,000?
Oh, gosh, no. We're on, the total population is 410, so it's, we're looking at...
Half of that or not.
Or a third. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I bet we're more like in the 100 range.
Right.
So.
Okay. Just full. I'm just curious.
We, you know, we could try to come up with some plan with the host. Like if somebody doesn't have their hang tag, that they would have that list.
Right.
Yeah.
And just be like, yeah, you're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, and.
We'll look into it and see. If
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let us. Yeah. I'd love to know if there were some steps we could take and. You know, we can pull the list of eligible, and then we can, you know, kind of kick it around from a town expense standpoint. But it's not a lot, and I think it would go a long way to attaching more people.
Less than $20 to get a carload of folks to come locally to recreate on the forest.
Yeah.
It's not like a state park where everybody, you don't get a carload. You get
it's
per
person.
Do you guys have numbers on what the visitation is?
Yeah, I can look them up. I mean, I think last year that automated fee machine collected like about $20,000 roughly at $5
per car.
So,
yeah.
It's, I mean, the lot, it depends. I mean, it's obviously weather dependent, but the opening weekend, foliage, 4th of July week, it's pretty busy.
Yeah.
But when it gets really hot and we get a heat wave, then everybody wants to swim.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But also, we're a logical source of volunteer labor for projects that you want to, you know, whether it's Green Up Day or just other kinds of projects, it makes sense to attach people to it and feel like, we should help, you know, whatever, haul trees that have been cut or brush.
Thomas
or,
Sheets, who's Jillian Joyce's son, he's going to do a pollinator garden there.
Yeah.
We ended up having him do some other little projects for us, but... It was during the fall drought, and there was like, it was just not happening.
Yeah,
and then the
yeah.
shutdown. It was just the whole, there. It was like a confluence of things. But to your point, it's like there are local residents who want to do projects.
Need a pollinator garden. So can I do it?
We get pollinator seeds.
I have them. I just I need the I need the flowers for a reason. So I want to. I need them for a wedding.
That's still
kind
maybe
of a set clock.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we'll leave you guys and leave you the maps and the
papers. Oh, this is great.
And,
thank you.
Thank
yeah,
you.
I want to.
We'll
put
you,
that up
we'll
here.
We'll be in touch, Andy, about the the past. Thing.
Great. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you guys. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
I think we got you back, Ben.
Yes. Thank you.
No problem.
Those were awesome updates. That's exciting.
Yeah. So Wayne is not here. But I wanted to just do a quick run through of our meeting with VTrans last week and a little South Road strategy.
Yep.
Plus some real numbers. So remember last week we looked at
the cost.
Yeah, the cost of
mm-hmm. of doing
grinding
the
and we looked at the upper portion, the upper section as having a price tag of $285.
That's to grind it and to pave
and to repave the whole
right,
thing.
Right, but that wouldn't get done obviously all in 1 year.
Yeah, but just sort of as a ballpark, the current paving account balance is $276, and we have a payment coming from VTrans for 80% of the paving from last summer that will increase it by 67,000. So we're going to be almost exactly 343,000 set aside for paving projects.
Okay.
We last June committed to spend 115,000 through Fuller to repave town to the firehouse and town garage. If we follow through with that or don't change where we're going to spend that money, that would drop us to 228.
And what's that figure again? The other one, 285.
Yeah, 285. And so one thing I was thinking...
And that's not taking into consideration any other potential grants that...
Yeah, well, okay. So last week's meeting with VTrans, they said just because of how they allot money based on mileage per town, and then they tend to pick about 8 towns per...
We're on pause for a while.
We're on pause. But he recommended that I still put in a grant application. I did. The deadline was today. It's in. We'll see how many we're competing against. Our last allotment was quite a bit below their maximum of 200K.
Oh.
So maybe that works in our favor. But also, we have so few town, a class 2 highway miles that we sit fairly down the list. So I'm not going to bank on us getting a VTrans grant, you know, inside of 5 years. But just looking at, you know, if we did the paving that we budgeted for and committed to, I mean, that would be early in the paving season this year. That would drop our balance to 228. If we went ahead and did the full length of South Road, the grinding to prep it, and then we could do the culvert work, you know, and that's actually a pretty readily available grant to do that work. More on that in a second. But if we spent the full length of the grinding and grading, would be about $50,000. So that would, again, drop our balance to 178. Which means we're only $86,000 shy of paving next summer all of the upper portion.
Except this
so
may
this
not,
comes out of it.
This, right, but this may the paving piece of this may go up.
Yeah. We might maybe we
whatever.
You know, maybe. So it's, you know, hard to tell what oil and energy prices are going to do. But we're not as far off as I thought we might have been. I mean, that $86,000 is not a totally out of line one year. You know, we could bank that. We're not that far off of being able to repave the upper portion a year from now.
And
so,
where does this money come from?
Just annual, it accrues. There's every year there's a line item and it goes into that paving fund.
Okay.
So,
how much?
What is that annual amount?
Yeah, it's just about
I don't know it off the top of my head. I thought it was one or 125, but I haven't looked to see what the current budget has in there for that. So anyway, that's the. Again, it's not a proposal for any action. It's just kind of a record keeping and.
Well, at least we have at least we're now in.
Yeah.
We have an idea, and as you said, it's not $300,000.
Or six.
Or six.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with the assumption that we would not pave from this section past Horses for Hire, to Wind Hall.
Yeah.
Or the Wind Hall line.
Yeah. Or to be decided.
Yeah,
you know, after doing the upper portion.
Well, we wouldn't be able to do that all in one year anyway, so.
Yeah. The only other thing, and I think I may have lost my other post-it in the shuffle here. I was looking at grants that we have received, and I jotted down the two grants in hand. And this, remember I sort of floated the idea that we think about hiring a part-time or on-call person kind of in balance with money that we received somewhat unexpectedly. Like, it is saving on budget. I have the exact figure somewhere, but I don't know where I put it today. It's about $27,000 from the grants and aid portion and the Better Roads portion. So that's some money. I mean, you know, that would be like, if you figured it as an hourly, we're looking at, you know, $900,
right, exactly.
900 hours of work. So I think we might want to look at a formula that...
And there doesn't seem to be an immediate need.
Well, no, but if we were to go ahead with South Road and add a culvert replacement project there, that seemed like the place where Wayne said, yeah, it'd be nice
to have.
If work on that infrastructure doesn't stop because Brian and Wayne take some deserved summertime off. Things could still be moving ahead, and it would get us closer to being ready to pave a year from now, that upper portion. So anyway, something to chew on in the next little while. Ben, is that making up sense?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Cool. We are old business. I guess I segued right into it. The proposal to hire part-time on-call employee to the road crew. I think we're
pausing for now.
Pause, but shall we maybe put that on the agenda for next meeting and see if we get any closer to a decision? Okay. Second item of business is the tree planting estimate and plan for the town green, with David Utiger, who is at the far end of the table. So, Dave, over to you.
Good, thanks. I mean, you've seen the estimate. You've seen the little map on your roof. According to Alex, the money has been appropriated and the town voted on it. I think that's page 27 of the town report. I asked him to... He just gave me a figure, and I said $10,000, and he put it in. Or I guess it's proposed 26-27. It's not authorized, but
okay.
I don't really understand that.
Sorry, I'm trying to get the...
What did the town approve? They approved 10. Oh, town tree maintenance, 10, and that was approved, the 10K?
There's a budget item.
Right.
The budget line in there, yeah. Why can't I not open, I know I looked at the map and the figures. Yeah, I like the price tag. The question is when to do what. And, you know, I...
Do you have the map with you again, any chance? The location?
I sent it to you in the email.
Yeah,
I know.
I just wanted... I thought maybe we had it right there.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's kind of crude, but...
No, that's fine. So it's just this B.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If we do, because we've had a bunch of meetings...
Well, that's what I was going to ask. If
about...
A bunch of meetings of...
About rerouting this.
Right.
So if we removed this as an intersection and created kind of a green band, a blockade of what some combination of, you know,
you
rock and plantings. No, you wouldn't, but it would change... Like if the road becomes
correct.
Like this,
yeah,
then I think configuring these is different, and you know that it's already been drawn by an engineer. It's a viable thing to do. Missing the foundation and turning this into a T'd intersection, but the idea is that then you know the church and other people in town could have parking right there in front, because this is no longer an intersection.
Yeah.
And then this, you know, we might want to use some plantings, you know, whatever. It's berm, it's rock, it's something. But it seems like it makes a ton of sense to have a pretty prominent tree right there.
Yeah.
To signify that that's no longer how the road goes. So,
I just find that whole idea really disturbing. I mean, for the first thing, people like to hang around on the foundation. They like to read. They like to have pictures. And there's going to be like logging trucks, and it seems like they're going to be going within like 10 feet of it.
I leave that to the engineers who mapped it. I think they found that there's room to do it in a way that there was not room to do a traffic circle. So
what's the reason for doing it?
What's the reason for changing this to here? Mm-hmm. I think that you then can't, none of the traffic coming from Landgrove can roll that stop sign because it's now a T. So this is one of the, this is like we had a traffic study done here because this is the thing that comes up every year and always is unanswered, which is how to stop or slow down traffic flying through town. And this is like the prime offender spot.
Yeah, and I guess to David's point, it ruins the aesthetic of the entire green for a roll through a stop sign.
The whole idea of slicing off part of the green.
That's what I'm saying. That would be the other consideration. I mean, you're...
Is just desecration a little too strong a word?
We're giving you... Yeah.
Well, it's a strong word, but... when you look at the portion of the green we're talking about, like, it's pretty small compared to the whole green space. And I want to speak up for the folks who lobby us every year.
I know. I understand the problem, too. People drive 55, 60 by my house all day.
Yeah.
But there's a problem at the other end, too. This end.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
And it's, so. To me, you're not going to change how people behave. People are going to boil through town, jam on their brakes to make that left turn if they're going that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think it's going to slow down anybody or very few. What happened? The speed bumps are not being put back in?
Well, they're seasonal and the current ones are pancaked, so.
That's just my opinion, man.
Yeah.
You're not going to change the way people drive. I mean, we've been talking about this ever since I moved to Peru, 35, 40 years. About making people drive slower, and you can't make them drive slower.
So far, there has been nothing done about it other than a lot of talk. That's why there was a engineering plan commissioned to look at taking action as opposed to just talking for another generation and not changing anything. I think that if there's a stop sign here, it will never, people's response to it will always be the same, which is
there is a stop sign there.
There's a stop sign, and a lot of people don't treat it like a stop sign. So you can't do the same thing if you come to a T, right? You can't, it changes how, it's funny, like there was a, one of the Forest Service vehicles hit this at 30 miles an hour a couple of days ago, and it was just a reminder that it's everybody, it's locals, it's. It's not a lack of familiarity. It's just, do we?
But you technically don't. I mean, even if you came across here, you don't have to stop here to go there. You can see, and you're just pulling right out.
What do you mean?
If you were coming from here,
yeah,
and you needed to go this way, you could pull in here, and run right through here without stopping, even though it's a T.
Yeah. No, it's just you're navigating a tighter spot. So, I didn't even know this plan existed when I joined the select board to have a reroute. Then we started looking at it.
If I can say something, it's my fuzzy understanding, but that plan, I want to say it was about 3 years ago or maybe right before I was on the select board. I thought that there was a town, a meeting where we talked about that, and I think it was on the agenda a couple times in a row, and it just kind of died for lack of a, that was a drawing someone did, you know, some people liked it, some people were strongly against it.
Yeah.
There wasn't a unanimous sort of, we feel strongly enough about this that we'd like to move forward, and I feel like it's been shelved for at least the duration of my tenure on the select board.
Yeah, I was, I mean, I remember, I think Mike was in on the meeting.
Yeah, I think it, I think you're right.
I think it was 4 years ago that they had the engineering firm come in. So, yeah, I don't know what the status of it is or kind of how it ebbs and flows. But, you know, we've got a lot of things in play with the pavilion. We had that, you know, the beginning of a traffic calming study for the North Road Hapgood intersection and the Hapgood Main Street intersection, which is, you know, we're going to have the BCRC traffic calming person here this spring or summer to, you know, start addressing the issue that seems to be one of the burning issues every year.
They fix the wall that's here?
No, it's pretty toppled.
So that's not part of any of this. We're going to put the trees and...
Yeah, I mean,
this also doesn't address the people coming.
Right.
No, it doesn't.
No, bypass, no, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is, I hear, I mean, Ed was telling me how people boil through there because they're trying to get behind some.
Yeah.
They're using it as a...
That's not that common, though.
They're using it as a cut-through.
Yeah.
To get by a truck.
I mean, but so this, my idea, until this is decided, we really, there's really nothing that we can do about planting these, doing these trees.
Well, we could just plant them, and then we're looking at, you know, cutting them or moving them if we go ahead with any redesign.
How big are these? Are they?
Well, that estimate I emailed, he said they have some. I mean, they're.
Does this...
2 to 3 inches to begin with? I mean, basically, right. They're similar to the ones that they. Mr. Lombardi planted.
Okay.
So they're not like sticks coming out of
them.
They're actually trees already. Because
his pear right here.
Yeah. And there isn't, I'm just trying to think where the power line is. It's on the other side.
Mm-hmm. And what's does it say in there the time to plant them?
Well, they planted those at Lombardi's. I mean, already fully leafed out, if I remember.
No, I'm just time of year. That like those went in the fall.
Like, would he plant them if we gave the approval? When would he plant them?
I have to call.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I could call them tomorrow and see if. What their schedule is.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like more trees, and I'd also like them to fit with a downtown plan. But you know, to me, traffic is it going to be like weather? Do we just gather and talk about traffic over and over again, or do we try to redesign downtown so that we affect traffic? And that's
I understand exactly what you're saying, and call me a pessimist, but I just don't think it's really going to change anything. It's not going to change anything once they get to the Hughes or once they get to Potter's.
Yeah, well, there. I mean, we've already met with BCRC about. You know, you can change down center speed limits that either makes a difference or it doesn't. But
I mean, really, the only thing that's going to change it, and you back, and I'm not advocating this because the guy was an asshole, but is make it a revenue source, and you end up hiring somebody that sits there and tickets, which is what every other town does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is, I mean. Right, Londonderry's gone to a halftime
people were furious.
Yeah,
probably for every 10 people that come into this town coming this way, 9 of them blow the stop sign.
I know. It's...
Maybe they'll slow down when they have these pretty trees to look at.
The trees aren't going to be, what, in 75 years?
Yeah. We'll all be dead.
So how do you want to go about this? Do you want me to call them up and have them put it on the schedule or find out when they can do it?
I don't want you to put it on the schedule unless the select board votes to have it done. So that's, I think that would be, there would have to be a motion to do the planting that you've designed. So if there's that, then we would talk about the strategy of inviting them to do the work or the timing of it.
Can you find out from them when they would plant? Is there, just find out when the time would be to plant. I mean, I don't know. It's probably all the time, right? Because they plant trees all summer.
Do they?
Yeah, yeah. So it's...
I mean, those trees were fully leafed out.
Right, so it's not even a...
Yeah, I mean, it'd be useful to know what's ideal, if there is an ideal.
I mean, I'm of the mind that these will never get planted if we're going to wait for some plan for... You know, to me, it's like you plant them and you deal with, you know, it, someday if there's some other plan, then you deal with it at that point.
It seems to me the worst case scenario is we're out $5,000 or $6,000.
Exactly.
If something were to change later. And more likely, a few of them could be transplanted or moved as part of what will end up being a large scale operation anyway. So right. It's not like... you know, if this were, I don't think it would be sensible to spend a huge sum of money to do this if there was a chance that it would be undone. But given the relatively low cost and the relatively low chance of something happening with a reroute anytime soon, I'd be happy to see a few more trees planted on the green. Is my stance.
Yep.
Right on. Well, do you want to make a motion?
I will make a motion that we proceed with planting the trees as designed.
I will second it.
I'm in.
Aye.
I'm voting no.
Okay.
And it passes. So...
Well, they are sycamores. I originally wanted maples, but these sycamores are much more resistant to salt or whatever and stuff like that.
So when they plow that area, these are far enough off. Well, I guess they'll be far enough off. Just one quick question, though, just about the tree. Have we determined that obviously there was a tree that was there forever, but mm-hmm. this is a space that is a good place for trees to grow from a ground standpoint?
They're probably, when they plant them, they're probably going to add a bunch of stuff to the soil.
Yeah.
The trees prospered well there before.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's what we talked about, sycamores, because do better.
Yeah, I mean, the closest one is right there, right? And there was this big
sort
corner
of
one.
Map,
yeah.
But,
okay.
So what do I do now? Do I just call them up and say to go ahead this spring, or?
I guess it doesn't matter.
What about the billing? Would they give... I don't know if they want, you know.
Oh, a
they
deposit.
Just build a town.
They build a town. The town got a check.
Is it Attention Treasurer Town of Peru? Or Attention Select Board Town of Peru?
It'd be the treasurer. I mean,
the treasurer, and then Cheryl.
Those go to the treasurer. Yeah.
Let her know. And,
what if they want a deposit?
Same thing.
Then she would issue that. Yeah. I mean, they would do an invoice for her.
She'll need an invoice if they need.
Yeah.
Deposit.
Yeah. Does that make sense? I mean, yeah. So.
All right, well, I didn't notice. He planted trees? Where did he plant trees?
Yeah, he's got two. He put two new ones in, right?
Oh, he did?
Yeah, just right.
On his, on the lawn?
They're about 5 or 6 feet from the road.
From the road.
I mean, I'll talk. I mean, these guys are experts. They plant trees for a living. Yeah. I'll let them know how close to the asphalt they should believe they should be and that kind of thing. And there might be, I mean, these trees are supposed to grow. I mean, if they live, going to be really huge, so maybe we'll only do three.
Well, that is a concern. That was one thing I was going to say. I mean, if these things start to get really big, like, it may be a little overpowering.
I mean, technically, the ones right out front here are planted too close together, and they look pretty nice.
Oh, along the road. Yeah.
Well, let's, I mean, just give them, you know, have they seen your map? Like, have they... Or your site plan? I mean,
yes.
Yeah. So
I went. I mean, I went over, but when I was talking to them in person, there was, you know, everything was buried in snow, and they even I got a better idea of the space that we had to deal with once all the snow melted.
Yeah. Well, just I would ask them, like, you know, you've drawn five, but if the space would be healthier for three, then do three, or if you know, if they think no, seven would look,
or maybe
best of all, we need to look at the estimate and adjust it. But does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I feel like that's a pretty good idea. And if they're going to scale it down for tree health, then so be it.
I would save some money.
Yeah.
Sure.
So study this for a second and I'll let you know.
Okay. Cool. Thanks, Dave. The next item is just the update on the special town meeting concerning local option taxes on May 2nd. There's a last step in notifying, or, you know, warning the meeting was to have a newspaper posting, and that came out today.
Okay.
So that was a, see you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
In the, you know, had to be 10 days before the meeting, and we're in plenty of time to do that. So, and then the last thing is the...
So is that a town vote here on May 2nd?
That'll be here 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
It's on Green Day. Green Day.
Green Up Day. Green Day.
Green Day of the band. Green Up. Yeah. Yeah, Green Up. Green Up Day morning. So, and Gary Amadon, our moderator, is available to coordinate the votes. And the last thing is the procedure document, which I've updated and made specific to Peru. I've read it a bunch of times.
You want me to scan it to Ben?
Well, I think Ben could just sign it when he gets back. Okay. If that is, I mean, we're obliged to sign some sort of procedure document every year, and we finally have
it. So we'll do it next meeting?
I think we should sign it so it's in place, and then if we have to, I mean, two of us can sign it and put it into effect, but...
Yeah, I can stop by next Tuesday or Thursday if you need to sign it right away, or I can just sign it next meeting.
Yeah. I think it'd be great if you signed it when you're back in town.
You want to use this one?
Sure. And if there's anything, I mean, it's slightly expanded from last year, the one we signed, Ben, but this is, you know, this is Vermont League of Cities and Towns. I don't know, it seems functional.
Yep.
Oh, that's two copies right there.
No, it's double-sided.
It is this. Okay, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
There we go. All right. Anyway, it's just where, you know, where we notify everything. And Ben, I'll email you a copy so you can see it ahead of time. But sound good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, I don't think we moved to accept it. We just sign it. That's what we did last year. it's procedural stuff. So, cool. Do you have anything else? Are we...
No.
I think we could adjourn and pay bills if that's...
Perfect.
Okay. Ben?
I move to adjourn.
All right. I second that. Do the ayes have it?
Ayes have it.
All right.
Can I say something about the... So this traffic thing in the green...
No. Ben, you can't. unless we reopen the meeting. No, if it's business we're going to act on, we need to have it in the meeting. So.
Well, my question is, do we need to put that back onto business and discuss it, or is it dead?
The idea of possibly rerouting traffic in the town?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no, we can put that on a future agenda for sure. Yeah.
I think we should decide, we either need to revisit it or kill it, right? Like, I thought it was dead a couple of years ago for lack of interest, but are we going to bring it back up and discuss it, or is it dead, or...
Oh, well, let's put it...
I don't know.
Let's put it on the meeting. I mean, it's been on the, it's been mentioned at numerous meetings in the year that I've been on the board, so...
So, are people... It's been brought up, but who's bringing it? Are there people that are either for or against it that are being quite vocal that want to have this discussed?